Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. Well, we're to our last segment of my interview with Dr. Ken Castor, professor of youth ministries for Crown College in St. Bonifacius, Minnesota, and the founder of the Next Ministry Conference, equipping volunteer church youth workers around the country for a greater kingdom impact. Today's episode is a little longer than usual, but I really didn't want to edit any of this content out. It's a great installment in this year's emphasis on effectively reaching today's youth for Christ. I'll have a few closing thoughts, but for the sake of time, let's jump right in.
John, how can we give more risky, and I'll explain that word in a minute, but how can we give more risky leadership to the next generation? And I don't mean risky in terms of like gambling. Like you could throw something away and, well, that was a risk. I guess it didn't work out. What I mean is where there's a cost, so that if you give a responsibility to a young person, if it doesn't work well, it will bring a cost to them and a cost to you. Because that's when you show that you really value what somebody can do. When you're willing to say to them, you know what, would you step up and do this? I trust this to you. And if it has real risk, you're also going to rally around them and support them and put those things in place that are needed. So I've seen some churches do this in wonderful ways, but it is hard to do. It's hard for parents to do with their own kids, to trust a kid to make a meal for the night or to trust their kid to make a decision on something. I know that I struggle myself to trust my own kids to mow the yard to make the yard look good enough, right?
Yep.
Which is absolutely
straight.
Get the line straight, which is absolutely stupid. But because just think, if I would actually let them learn how to do it, maybe they'd mow over some flowers, but if I would let them learn how to do it, then I wouldn't have to do it anymore.
Amen. Yeah.
But, and they would become good at it. And they'd probably find their own ways. They'd probably mow in a different pattern than me. And my temptation would be to say, no, no, you have to go this way and then this way because it's the most effective way. And I've learned through and listened to your elder and No, they would find their own way. They would figure it out. We figured it out in our day and they can figure it out in their own. In fact, they are best poised to figure it out in their own day. And they shouldn't do all of the things that we think they should do. And that's hard for us. What matters is, are they being biblical? Are they growing closer to Jesus? And are they fulfilling, you know, I want to say the great call and the great commission, the great call, the great Shema in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul.
Yep.
And then it says, and teach all that I'm commanding you to your kids and do it all the time and every aspect of life. So are we allowing them to do that? Are are they learning in all aspects of life to grow closer to the Lord, to follow the Lord and to share him with the next generation after them?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been my observation, at least in the many churches that I've worked with over the years, both as a local pastor in partnership with other congregations and also denominationally with several of the churches in our denomination, is that we tend to default, you know, we want to come alongside these young people and we want to train them up. We tend to default to a more academic approach, which corrals them rather than really releasing them in ministry. And it sounds to me like maybe one of the first things we need to do for my generation, for us as pastors, is to say, okay, so what are the non-negotiables? What are the things that have to be truly, as far as Jesus is concerned, that have to be a certain way? And what are the things that we in the church are saying have to be a certain way that probably don't? And identify that, and then, you know, say, okay, so on the non-negotiables, we're not going to budge with the youth. We're going to make sure that they have those things. But on everything else, we're just going to swallow hard and let them go. I mean, is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. And so deciphering what the non-negotiables versus, mm-hmm. There's a missiologist named Leslie Newbegin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who said that we give people not only the essentials of the gospel, the non-negotiables of the gospel, but without intending to, we often give them the accidentals. And what we're actually giving them is our own perspective, our own culture, our own preferences. Mm-hmm. So this is dangerous, but here's a negotiable style of worship music.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. And praise the Lord that it's negotiable, because otherwise we'd all be worshiping with a shofar horn.
Yeah. That's right. Yep.
You know, I'm glad that in the 90s, when I was in my 20s, mm-hmm. I'm glad that I could worship the Lord with my acoustic guitar and get up in front with my acoustic guitar and be the worship leader at our church. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for those days. You wouldn't want me up front worshiping with my acoustic guitar nowadays. I know that my own kids wouldn't. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'd still be singing some songs from the 90s that to mm-hmm. me were the most solid worship songs I've ever heard.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Thankfully, worship music is something that God allows to be relevant to generations. Mm-hmm. And this next generation, John, they might begin to lead worship in some ways that are uncomfortable for the older generations. But you know what? That has been the honest struggle of every generation of the church for 2,000 years.
Yes, it has.
And the Lord is gracious through it, and his spirit moves. And look, I'm doing a new thing. He likes to say to every generation.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, wow, this has really been thought-provoking. I almost wish that we had the ability to do call-ins here where, you know, people could listen and could,
that'd be fun.
Could call in and ask questions. And maybe we can do a panel like that someday when I get that technology right now. I don't have that technology to do that.
Well, if you'd like, one of the questions I would suspect somebody would be asking right now is, so what are some of the other essentials and non-essentials?
Sure, sure. Go for it.
What's negotiable, what's not? Well, it's maybe easier in some ways to think about what is negotiable. Hmm. For instance, let's say your church is setting up a vision team for the future. Hmm. And you're thinking 10 years from now, what are we going to be doing as a church? Let's just imagine that for a moment.
Yeah.
Well, who do you want on that team? I'll throw that one at you, John.
Well, see, after this conversation, I know who needs to be on that team. In all actuality, in our particular case, where we are, we've got some young people that are solid, and I would have no hesitation whatsoever to do that.
Yeah.
But I can see where this really would be a challenge for some pastors to say, hey, the people who've been the solid foundational people are the ones, and they're actually a foundation from a different era. And so I can see where that would be a problem for the future.
Yeah, and likely it needs to be a mix, right, of mm-hmm. multiple mm-hmm. generations. But some of the key drivers of that, if a church is being biblical, I think, some of the key drivers of that are going to be young people. And that seems risky because they don't have all the experience. They don't know all the fights we've had over the budget for the drapes.
Yep. They don't know Robert's Rules of Order.
They don't know Robert's Rules of Order. Can I go on a tangent with that?
Sure, sure.
That's a non-essential.
Yeah.
That's not in the Bible. Robert's Rules of Order is not in the Bible.
Yeah.
It was actually created to control division. It wasn't created to create unity. It was created to control division. So if somebody has a dissenting point of view, they have to go through the right process. And then everybody gets to vote on every dissenting process.
Yeah.
So it's actually, it's a sign of division. First Corinthians, the Corinthians church could have used Robert's Rules of Order. but does every church in North America have to use Robert's Rules of Order?
Well, it depends on how much conflict they've got.
I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe there's a different way. And I imagine that the young generation they're already familiar with some different ways of structuring proactive business meetings and brainstorming sessions and decision-making skills. And some of our older generations, I'll include myself in that, we're stuck in certain patterns of prior generations. Oh my goodness, John, can you imagine a business meeting that actually moved according to the Spirit rather than Robert's Rules of Order?
Yeah.
So maybe we could enable a next generation to pursue the Spirit's guidance in an annual general business meeting. And even that, is that even essential? And I don't want to start scaring everybody. I'm not a church recreationist by any means. I think some of the ways that the next generation will lead is by valuing what we have and what we have been given. And you can see that in David. As a teenager, he loved the Lord first and foremost, and that's the first essential that all generations need to hold on to, is a real relationship with the living Savior. The second essential is something that David also held on to for a lot of his life, but as he got entrenched into his kingdom, you know, there's that phrase where it was springtime, and as you know, the time for kings to go out to war. And he got entrenched in his patterns and his comforts and the way he liked things. And that's when he fell into sin. And that's when the kingdom started falling apart. Well, that's what happens to us too. And the second essential fights against that. It's an essential of intentionality. The older and younger generations need to be intentional about equipping the next generations.
Amen.
No generation should ever feel like it's the most important generation in the church.
Amen.
So that's a high calling. For the current generation of leaders in the church, that's a really high standard to not consider yourself as the prime generation of the church, but to look at God's view. Deuteronomy 6, teach us to your kids. Psalm 78, we will not hide these truths from our kids, but we'll pass it on to the next generation so they can pass it on to the generation after them, so they can pass it on to the ones who aren't even yet born, so that they can pass it on to the ones who really aren't even yet born. Psalm 78 blows me away. And in fact, most of that psalm is about how prior generations got stuck in their patterns and wouldn't pass the equipping of faith on to the next generations. So that second essential, John, the first one is this closeness of relationship with the Lord. The second one is in our churches, our generations need to be intentional about passing faith and ministry leadership on to the next generations. And then that third essential I referenced at the beginning is that our churches, in order to be effective with the next generations, our churches need to be places that encourage young people.
Amen.
So, and by that again, I mean put the courage of God in them so that they can be bold and do amazing things. And that's going to take a lot of encouragement for our older generations as well.
Amen. Such good stuff. Ken Castor, thank you so much for everything. I'm hoping maybe we can do this again. Would you be willing to come back on again?
I love talking about these things, John. So it's up my
would love
up
it.
My alley.
Yeah, amen. We'd love to have you on again, and we will also promote the next conference. I've tried a couple of different times to get there, and always had an obstacle in the way. Maybe one of these next ones. So you're doing it down here in Orlando too, aren't you?
Yeah, we've done it for 3 years now in Orlando, yeah. And so we're planning on it again in the January or February. I think February of 2021.
Okay, well, I've got plenty of time to plan. I've got no excuses. Let me talk with Catherine and my leadership and see if I can't make that happen, because I really do. I've told you before, I've wanted to be a part of that and come down. Ken Castor, thank you so much for being on the Minister's Friend podcast.
It's an honor. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
This part of our conversation was so thought-provoking. How do we entrust appropriate risk to the next generation? Ken says it has to have a cost. If the possibility of failure has a real cost to the church, then it communicates trust and value. It'll build relationship, and it'll foster stronger disciple-making, because we'll want to be right alongside them to ensure they do well. Ken also asks several important questions for us to seriously consider about our investment in the next generation. Are they being biblical? Are they growing closer to Jesus? Are they fulfilling the great call? And he's referring to the Shema in Deuteronomy 6 there. Are they fulfilling the great commission? Are they learning in all aspects of life to grow closer to the Lord and to share him with their next generation? This was a powerful conversation, and I really do hope to have Ken back again on the podcast in the future. We're so grateful that you're in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders, just like you, to lead their congregations well. To that end, we've recently added a very special 12-episode podcast package to the Minister's Friend roster, Your Church and the Law. In it, we address the most significant legal issues facing local churches today with pastor and attorney Dave Bedanza. It's available on all the major platforms, including both Apple and Android. Subscribe to the Minister's Friend today, and you'll have access to the whole package. I'm so glad you were with us today. I hope that this series is helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!